This evening on Vancouver Theater, a play by J. Michael Yates, The Broadcaster.
As they lead him to the control room, the program director's arm threaded through his left arm, he appears very calm, but within, he's deeply stirred by the whole ceremony. Deeply stirred.
You're just the genius we've been seeking.
We're very fortunate to have found you.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Yes.
And I, that you found me.
Yes. You'll like our operation. Without exception, all the announcers we've hired have liked it.
Yes.
Now, do you think of yourself as announcer or DJ? You're the artist. We only ask about such things for the sake of amenities, you know.
I know. As you say, I'm a genius, certainly an artist. As an artist responsible not only for the eternal verities of broadcasting, but for the sound of my times as well. And for the sake of my times, I must bear being a disc jockey. Of my times as well. And for the sake of my times, I must bear being a disc jockey.
This is the newsroom.
Our operation is just the thing for an artist, the only thing.
Yes. Yes! Time sales are tipped up, you know. We're number one in the market.
The only market.
Yes, I know. Top ratings at once drive a great broadcaster to deliver his best and allow him greatest freedom.
We've always thought so.
I needn't explain to a veteran DJ how to operate the console. It's entirely a one-man operation, all up to you. All of us here at the top depend on you utterly.
Leave everything to me. At what times may I expect engineers around to take reading?
Oh, you needn't expect them at all. Our system here at the top is entirely self-maintained. Tubes replaced automatically. Line leaks from the transmitter stopped automatically. Directional pattern adjusted automatically.
Automatically?
Top ratings fixed automatically. Ha-ha.
Yes, of course.
You see, you're really the only human link. Ha-ha.
He shakes hands with both of them. They kiss both his hands and say once again,
It's only because of you... That we are. This door is always unlocked.
Through the glass behind the console, the broadcaster sees the newsroom and the door leading back wherever he has come from. He sees the program director take up a telephone. A red light goes on over the phone in the control room.
Yes?
This is the hotline. Extensions are in my office, here in the newsroom, and in the office of the Times salesman. Now, please don't hesitate to ask for anything you might wish to aid you in your dedication. When you call, we'll answer immediately. When we ring, you may answer, or not. If you don't, well, we'll understand.
He is alone with the console. The record shelves against the wall, the turntables, massive pieces of electronic equipment, the radio log, alone with the millions of small holes in the acoustical tile. He scans the day's top 40 list, pulls his records from the shelves, studies ahead over the log, checks himself on the mammoth tape ensemble.
No announcer in the control room when I arrive? Maybe stopgapping with an automated run. Carousel tape should be here somewhere. No equipment for automated broadcasting? But the needles, my God, the needles are up full power.
While the station officials and he exchanged bows, the transmitter has been on full power, sending out over the frequency nothing but dead air.
Dead air's a hard act to follow. Now... cue record, release the turntable, pop music up full. Now!
Here we go, hippies. Substitutes for yourselves. Spin on in with Tim Hawker, doing it to the dead air with the sound of what's happening. It's here, baby, on top at RTOP, where it's at.
My God. Cue another wax, and ready to segue.
You say to me the dead air had you too freaked, couldn't get ready for it, all that lack. I'm hip, raunchy baby. Get your good ear on the outside of this.
Yeehaw! We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place.
Yeah. Find the music, my time. My timing. Arms and fingers over the knobs and levers, yeah. Say nothing in the old sense, sheer dream stream of syllables. Point or counterpoint of music, yeah. All of it. News, weather, time, spoof of commercial or music, all of it, yeah. Part of a kind of transcendental pulse.
In these times, all real things are continuous.
See my daddy in bed.
You're on the top of the tip. It's the Boss's Trip with Radio T.O.P. And this is Top Kick Tim Hocker in your ear. And how do you like it in the ear, baby? This is from the National Association of Auto Safety. If you want to become a harpist for RTOP, remember, driving drunk this holiday weekend is the bogue way to qualify. Besides, listen to me, tight jaws. Ain't no harpies at T.O.P. No one harangues you harangutans. Dig squares? I'm an angel. Catch my act, your guardian angel, Tim Hocker, the hip hop. Listen all the time. And that's the sound you do it all to. If you don't, one day you'll feel the wind overhead and you'll look up and it'll be me, your guardian angel, signing off. And while we're doing angels, here's...
The light over the hotline glows.
Yes?
This is just to let you know how pleased we are with your sound.
Right.
The switchboard has been lit solidly since your first word on the air. Every teenager in the area, adults, advertisers.
Right. Every time buyer in the area has called to buy huge packages of you.
Fine, but isn't that what we expected? It's difficult for me to grow too excited over the inevitable... But I'm pleased that you're pleased.
We are, inexpressibly. Oh, but we don't wish to interfere with your concentration. Forgive us.
Of course. Thank you. Call any time. There were times in my growth as an artist that I was easily distracted, but I'm beyond all that now.
The voice of his age, at the top, nowhere higher to rise. All is horizon from here on. He tips back the roller chair, balancing nimbly on the casters, lights a cigarette, and blows the smoke ring upward toward the even rows of perforations in the acoustical tile. There was a time when he dizzied himself contemplating the complicated circuitry of the transmitter, the console, the infinite shapes, sizes, and colors of radios in the homes and cars of listeners, all of them saying one sound, his voice, simultaneously. He used to distract himself by attempting to count the holes in a single acoustical tile. Once he tried marking his progress by inserting the pencil lead in one orifice after another. But it gave him an unpleasant feeling, as though he were disturbing graves. Or meddling with history. As spokesman for his age, he knew he must remain a non-historical man. He knew that each time he opened the mic, he must speak as though no man ever broadcast before him, as though no one but he were broadcasting now.
5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around.
After a time, he overcame distractions. While broadcasting, there was that only. He sought excuses to leave the control room, to the lavatory, to check the news wires, less and less often. Outside the control room, he could muster only a few monosyllables for acquaintances and shopkeepers, and it seemed a very great effort. It was much easier after the long succession of wives and mistresses had tapered, then ceased. At her dramatic departure, one of his wives, he can't remember which, imputed...
You can't bear anything you can't do in solitude. Before, you did human things in solitude. Horses, your workshop, reading, fishing. I actually think you wish you could handle sexual intercourse.
She said it always with such terrible sibilance.
Alone.
Not long thereafter, there was no further need for women, for sexual preoccupations of any sort. Broadcasting left no energy for anything outside itself, no desire. He ceased eating. The rhythm of his work nourished him.
This is Bad City of the Airwaves. You're at 560 on the AM aisle, the inside of the city, as we get on down to the real nitty-gritty with.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there.
Who knew? Listening to his broadcast, whether he shaved, he stopped shaving. Since he was in the control room alone always, it didn't matter that he stopped bathing. He wore his clothes until they fell apart, then sent for others. Now, the conditions under which he accepted the position at RTOP were two. That he was to be paid nothing, that he should never be asked to leave the station for any reason. He didn't ask them to provide sleeping quarters. He'd long since given up sleeping.
Young people speak in their minds.
This is Hard Rock, Around the Clock, for Grooves on the Move. Wherever you are, grooving in bed, some cats groove in their sleep. Or in your car, if you groove, don't drive. Safety first. Hawker hangs in here at T.O.P. Smile, mother, you're at 560 on your dial. And here is another T.O.P. first.
Never had he entrusted anything important to anyone that it wasn't bungled. If he carried ratings of 70s and 80s on his show, always there was some ass who dropped to 10s and 20s while he was off the air. So he sacrificed sleeping in order to sustain control. There are ways of resting fully conscious. He discovered them all. One day, some months after he began at T.O.P., he slept.
Silence? Silence? Wait a minute. Just a minute here. Slept? Not me. Dozed, maybe. Dozed. Where's the log? Let's see. Public service announcement, 3 p.m., yeah. Produce spot, number one slot, yeah. 12 minutes of music back to back. No music pulled. Turntable's empty. T.O.P. time is 3 of 3 on the beautiful day of... the date is the now... You know what? A perfect day for hip sounds like...
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because it is...
7 logs on top of the console. No, man. Wait a minute. No, impossible that I've slept for a week. And then wake up within minutes of the precise time I fell asleep. Come on, check again. Copy books, ET commercials, log. A solid 7 days? It's all over for me.
He carries on with programming on the current log, waiting for them to enter with his walking papers. Hours pass. Finally, he lifts the receiver of the hotline.
Top ratings.
Top time sales.
You're revolutionizing the broadcasting industry.
National advertisers have bought almost every second of availability. They're paying $200 a minute.
You sound as though nothing were amiss.
Heavens, with the progress we show since your inception here, what could possibly be wrong?
Nothing. Like a week of dead air?
Save it for the listeners.
Look, I've just checked the ETs against the log, and I've been asleep for a week. I tell you, I've checked the
really,
log.
Really, old man, neither of us has been on vacation, you know. We've been right here. You haven't missed a single cue. Sheer perfection. You've just lost touch a little with the calendar, maybe, but asleep you haven't been.
Look, if anyone knows what's happening, if anyone is conscious in radio today, if anyone knows the difference between sleep and consciousness, oh, forget it. Surely if I slept even a few hours, some troublemaker would call in, let alone a week. With the ratings I've been carrying, millions of cars, portables, homes beamed in on my sound. With ratings like that, 10 minutes of dead air would be enough to detonate the switchboard.
Again, he checks the logs, E.T.'s music sheets. He throws open the mic in the middle of the cut, pots the mic up to full power, and...
You rotten, lying bastards!
Well, that packs it in. I've just thrown away my life over the microphone with a single oath. That simple. If the staff didn't monitor that, then it's certainly communications monitor picked it up. Any case, listeners will report me to both.
He stares at the light over the hotline waiting. Nothing.
What the hell does it take?
Mr. Top Sound himself, what can we do for you?
Perhaps no one is listening. Is it possible that no one has been listening? Ever?
He pushes back from microphone and console, walks around the end of the turntable counter, passes the record library on the wall.
It's not locked.
As they said months ago. He is free to enter the newsroom, to open the outer door, to enter the long, low hallway leading outside to the street, to enter the outdoors. Free to enter the direction opposite the one he has come. He can't. Or doesn't. It's the longest moment of his life. As he sits down in the familiar chair once again and reaches for the microphone switch, a slackness comes over him. His collar seems suddenly quite loose, and his belt. His feet feel afloat in vast space inside his shoes. For the first time, he feels diminutive before the microphone and all the equipment. Even his reflection in the glass over the console seems shrunken and stooped.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Tim Hawker, the Time Hawker here, alone. At Radio RTOP, testing, testing, testing. God is dead! Tim Hawker here, testing. If anyone is out there, please report me to the NCA, the National Communications Authority. Look in the phone book under government offices. Call right now before I corrupt your children, before I ruin marriages, before I overthrow the government, before I... Tim Hawker says the NCA is run by a bunch of well-bribed thugs. Call up the Ratings Bureau of America and say Tim Hawker says the whole rotten outfit is paid off. And the McCloskey rating system, too. Here's music to call the police by.
The Eastern world, it is exploding. Violence flaring and bullets loading. You're old enough to kill.
He doesn't really expect response, but the old rhythms of voice and music are some consolation. He doesn't really regret that he continues saying, playing record after record, even though there is no question now that he is shrinking. He rolls up the sleeves of his shirt and the legs of his trousers, reaches for a cigarette.
Cigarette seems extraordinarily long. Heavy. Shoes won't stay on. Too large. Let him go.
He flounders in his trousers until it becomes necessary to remove them. They've become heavy as armor. He draws his feet in beneath his shirt, then sits with only his head, his voice exposed. He reaches out between buttons to operate the controls. He sleeps now. He doesn't know at what intervals or for how long. The shrinking continues.
Hungry.
For the first time in years.
Genius rings.
I'm very hungry.
Ah, yes. Well, whatever you wish, and as much as you wish. The whole newsroom full of food, if that would please you.
I'm very hungry. Yes, I think the newsroom full of food will be fine.
He sleeps, then awakens and stands on his chair to see through the glass into the newsroom whether the food has arrived. Fearing that the long tresses of his shirt might catch in the chair and hang him as he leaps, He slips out of it and drops nude to the floor. Whoever brought the food has foreseen his predicament, the height of the doorknob, and set the door ajar. The teletypes have spewed out their entire rolls of paper printed with the news of who knows how many days, then shut down.
Could be shrinking's got to do with not eating all this time.
He eats, sleeps, and eats again. The shrinking continues.
Lonely.
The return of loneliness surprises him more than anything.
Perhaps a woman.
As well as he can, he scrubs himself with the use of a glass of water left for him in the newsroom. He wets and Welsh combs his hair and beard, climbs up the chair, steps from there to the console, scales the console, takes the heavy telephone receiver in both hands. He lies beside the telephone to speak.
Good day, Mr. Big Sound. What can we do for you?
I just can't tell you, my boy, what you've done to boost ratings. We've never had it so good.
Thank you.
Can you speak a little louder?
Thank you.
We thank you.
Look, I have another request.
Name it. It's yours.
I've been here some time, you know. I don't know precisely how to explain myself, but I seem to... A desire,
Yes.
Right away, old man. As I said earlier, you are the human element here. Ha ha, the only human link.
Just tell us what you want. Statistics, hair, we'll custom deliver.
Look, I don't want to discuss it. Please just take care
right
of it.
Right away.
He scrambles down the facework of dials, levers, and knobs to the counter, leaps across to the chair seat, somewhat precariously, dives into the huge heap of his shirt, then emerges with his head through one of the sleeves. Waiting.
Hello?
She's huge.
The broadcaster draws his head inside the sleeve and sits there astounded.
How to believe how small I've become.
Oh, there you are. Hello.
Hello. Excuse me. I haven't seen a woman for some time. She's huge.
I understand.
If you'll please disrobe and recline there on the floor. She's so magnificently terrible. If you don't mind lifting me down.
His feet touch the soft sea of her stomach, and he begins the trek toward the summit of her left breast. But it's clear there's nothing either of them can do. She's very kind and says nothing about his condition. He sits atop her breast, resting, riding the smooth swells of her respiration. And the broadcaster divulges nothing of his horror at seeing so much of her at close quarters.
Thank you for your... Would you mind placing me back up there on the counter as you leave?
As she goes out the door, he strides down the Formica countertop, passes the turntables, turns at the console, reaches for the lone switch lever. The spring is far too much for him. But as a lurching around beneath the pages of the log, he finds the pencil, and using that as a lever, he manages to get the switch into the open position. He gathers himself for his last broadcast.
T.O.P. time is...
He can't see the clock. It's on the wall over the right end of the console.
I don't know the date either. And there isn't any news. We'd hear some sides. That's really where it's at and what it's all about. But baby, I just can't get there from here. Just the same, we know the music was the thing. This is Tim Hawker, here on top. Right up on top at RTOP's, signing off. This has been... Tim Hawker.
The needle hasn't registered at all. He collapses and sits a long time beneath the open microphone, nude and cold, collecting himself for the long climb down from the console. He rises to go, starts, then walks back beneath the mic.
Tim Hawker is only an air name. My real name is... Well...
It is necessary, somehow, to get back to his chair before the console. Somehow. An old propriety. But a drop to the seat might be fatal. He turns and walks to the right-hand precipice of the console. The wastebasket, full of paper. He climbs the wastebasket. By the time he reaches the floor, his body is lacerated and scratched, as though he'd run a marathon through dense brambles. He finds himself at the base of his swivel chair. He despairs that there will ever be a way up to the seat, until he notices that one sleeve of his shirt spills over the edge and trails on the floor. He creeps inside the sleeve and sleeps a long time. Then begins trail. As he reaches a point perhaps 3 inches from the long time, begins to slip, and he sways between life and death for me. As he reaches a point perhaps 3 inches from the floor, the sleeve begins to slip, and he sways between life and death for a miniature eternity. But it's only a fold falling taut beneath his slight weight. The sleeve holds fast. The weight of the shirt above is sufficient. With his last strength, he pulls himself over the edge and lies there with his hands clutching the looped wool of the seat upholstery. Little by little, he waves through the labyrinth of thread arches to the center and sits upright, a broadcaster on duty, watching the loops of wool grow taller.
You know, genius is a marvelous thing.
Yes, yes it is.
Time to time, I can wish for it.
Not me. We have our capacities.
He did sound good, talking to us, and on the hotline.
Yes.
The time salesman is very carefully unfolding and examining the rumpled shirt. Satisfied that the broadcast isn't in, a mammoth magnifying glass comes to a stop over the broadcaster. He can see the pupil of the vast eye above it dilating to see him in more light. The broadcaster smiles broadly. He can see the pupil of the vast eye above it dilating to see him in more light. The broadcaster smiles broadly. But an sensitive pair of forceps moves toward the broadcaster beneath the glass. They take him gently by his long hair to avoid jeopardy of his delicate limbs. The broadcaster is transferred very slowly, very cautiously, toward the wall, toward the honeycomb of caverns in the infinite acoustical tile.
This evening on Vancouver Theater, The Broadcaster, a play by J. Michael Yates. Red Robinson was the disc jockey, Peter Brockington the narrator, John Sparks the program director, Bill Buck the time salesman, and Lillian Carlson was two women. Technical operation was by Bill Seaback with sound effects by Lars Eastholm. The play was directed by Robert Orchard and produced in the Vancouver studios of the CBC.